Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
Amen. Walking in sunlight. Here we are, walking in sunlight. You know, there's a song that we sing usually during vacation Bible school, and we like it because it teaches our children that they need to shine the light. And I want everybody to get their light this morning, right? Okay, we've all got our light, right? And we say, I'm gonna let it shine, I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine, right? We've all got this light, and that's what we teach our children. And unfortunately, we sing that song just for children. We don't sing it for adults. And we don't remind adults that we too have a light. And we too need to be shining our light in this world. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, we are encouraged to walk as children of light. But before you hear that we are children of light, he says in verse 8, for you were formerly darkness. You were formerly of the darkness. I want you to think about that for just a moment. And I want you to listen to some of these words. If you can keep up with me, that would be great. If not, then just listen to them. From Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 14, we find out that darkness takes delight in doing wrong. It rejoices in the fact that it does evil. That's what we find in darkness. Or how about Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19, that darkness is the way of the wicked. Or Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, where it reverses the decrees of God, calling evil good and good evil. Boy, we hear that a lot today, don't we? Where people are crying out and saying, you know, that good thing that you're talking about, well, we consider that bad now. That's no good anymore. Or that evil thing, you know, killing babies and abortion, that evil thing, living in homosexuality, well, that's fantastic now. You see, that's what happens in the darkness. People get confused. They call good evil and evil good. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 7, the Lord is speaking, and he's talking about how he's going to save them, but within it, it says that those who are in the darkness are in prison. And God's saying he's going to save them from that prison, but you think about that. People living in darkness are imprisoned. They are trapped within that darkness. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 23, Jesus is speaking, and we call this the Sermon on the Mount, but he's talking about the struggle that we have. Now, we can't serve two masters, and one of the masters that he's talking about is money. The other master is God. We need to follow after God. But he talks about the eyes being a lamp to the soul. And he talks about how darkness can come in, and it can permeate through the entire body. Darkness can fill us up and take control. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12, there's a different kind of darkness that has been prepared. Jesus, speaking there, talks about the sons of the kingdom being cast out into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a place we do not want to end up. I want you to turn with me over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Normally, we turn to John chapter 3, and we want to look at verse 16. Well, let's go ahead and start there, but we're going to continue reading. John chapter 3, starting in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. We love that. Verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Yes. Preach it, right? Save the world through Jesus. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged. He does not He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And now we're getting on to the fact that people are judged who do not believe in God. Now notice verse 19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, that's Jesus, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Men loved the darkness. They didn't like the light that came into the world. They wanted to continue to live in the darkness. And you see, they've been imprisoned in that darkness. They've been trapped in that darkness. In Acts chapter 26, in verse 18, we recognize that people who are in the darkness are in the domain of Satan. See, that's where Satan rules. That's where he is all powerful, is in that darkness, right? He's going to control people in that darkness. He's going to lead them further and further into the dark. The problem is, once we found ourselves in the darkness, we can't get ourselves out of it. We cannot of ourselves get out of that darkness. We have to see the light. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it talks about the fact that Jesus saved us, or Jesus rescued us out of the darkness. You just think about that for a moment. It's like he's reached down his hand into this crevice, into this hole of darkness, and he's grabbed yours. And he is pulling you out of that darkness, and he's lifting you up into his marvelous light, into the kingdom of his beloved Son, is what it says there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. See, we needed someone to save us. We needed someone to pull us out of that darkness that we found ourselves in. And then I want you to come back to the book of Ephesians and notice with me in chapter 6. Chapter 6. In verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of what? Of this darkness. That's where our struggle lies. Against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, we'll get to this passage later on in our series, but do we understand that we're still living in a world of darkness? Do we understand that darkness is still all around us? We like to focus on the light, and I understand. It's because we've been brought into the light, and we love the light now. But sometimes we forget that we're walking around in a world of darkness, and we need to shine that much brighter. We need to shine the light that we've been given so that others can receive the light as well. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. We need to be living as those who are walking in light. Jesus in in Matthew chapter 5 talked about the fact that we are the salt of the earth. And then he went on to say, you are the light of the world. We're supposed to be shining. We're supposed to be walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1 talks about us walking in the light as God is in the light. That's where we need to be walking. But notice, that sounds great. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be walking in the light? I can walk out of this building, out of this room, and I can be walking in sunshine. We just sang that song, right? Be walking in sunshine. But does that mean I'm walking in the light? Not necessarily. You see, as he goes on in verse 9, what does it mean to be walking in the light? It means that I'm bearing fruit. And I'm not just bearing any kind of fruit. He says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That is the light we are supposed to be bearing. Goodness. We use that term good to refer to a lot of different things. We might even talk about friends in this world or neighbors, coworkers, and we might even describe them as being good or a good man, a good woman. But the idea of goodness here is being morally straight. And not just being morally straight and doing things that are right, which we'll get to with righteousness, but it's the idea of being kind, of doing good deeds. You know, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it talks about the fact that we are to do good to all men, especially to the household of faith. We need to be doing good deeds to serve our fellow man. Not just our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we better be helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we're also called to continue to shine the light outside of the believers. Outside in the world where people can see us, where they can see the light. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, when he's talking about us being the light of the world, he says we're supposed to be doing good works, good deeds. Why? Well, we've been created to do good deeds, good works. That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. But why else? What's another purpose for that? So that they, those who don't believe, can see your good works. You know, the Pharisees like to do good things. They dress up real nice. I dress up real nice. Right? Sunday morning, dress up real nice, you know, but they'd have other things. They'd have a nice train. They'd have all kinds of different things. And then they would like to do good things to be noticed by men. And not just to be noticed by men or seen by men, but so that they would receive praise. To lift up their spirits. To build themselves up. And sometimes we talk about preachers getting a big head. You know, usually what happens is after a Sunday morning sermon, we usually stand towards the back and we shake people's hands. And what are the words that come out of people's mouths a lot of the time? Good sermon. I appreciated that sermon today. You did a good job this morning. I really enjoyed your lesson. And then here comes Travis's head. I can't hardly fit through that door. It gets so big because everybody says I had such a wonderful sermon. I'm not saying stop. Keep bringing it, okay? I enjoy it. I like it. But what I'm saying is, sometimes we do good and wonderful things just so that we can be noticed and we can be praised and we can be built up. Instead of what Jesus was talking about there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. They notice your good works, and because of those good works, they praise the Father. They praise God. They lift Him up because they notice the reason you're doing it. You're not doing it to be praised by men. You're doing it because of your Heavenly Father and what He's done for you. You've become a child of light, and you're just trying to shine His brightness around. You're trying to make sure His light is reaching everyone else and touching their souls and their hearts. That's walking in the light. That's walking as a child of the light. And then he goes on to say righteousness. You're bearing fruit in righteousness. Righteousness isn't one of those things that you just have. It comes from faith. And we learned that from the book of Romans, where Abraham is used as an example in Romans chapter 4, where he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. But it wasn't just that he said, I believe in God. You know, we have that today. People say, I believe in God. Well, that doesn't just automatically make you righteous. You see, James says in James chapter 2, the demons also believe in God. That doesn't make them righteous. They believe in God and they shudder in fear because they know who He is and they know that He has control. He has dominion over them. He's going to cast them in the fiery depths. See, they believe in God, but they're not following God. So it's not just enough to believe that he is, that he exists, that he's there. But to believe God is to trust him and to do what he's asked you to do. You know, to Abraham, he said, "Abraham, I promise you something. I'm going to promise you a child. And I'm not just going to promise you this one child, but I'm going to promise you that you're going to have descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore, as numerous as the stars in the sky. And not just that, but I'm going to promise you that through your seed, the world will be blessed." And of course, through the seed of Abraham, we get to Jesus Christ, and the world is certainly blessed by him. But Abraham had to do something. God, thank you for that promise. That's beautiful. I can't wait for that to happen. Isn't God just great? No, Abraham had to leave the land of Ur, leave this city that he had grown up in, leave the idols that he had worshipped, that he had been told he ought to trust and that he ought to go to and pray and sit before them and pray and make sure he carries around with him, have these idols with him all the way. God says, leave all that behind. I'm going to take you to a land, and that's going to be the land of your people. Abraham had to leave what he knew. Not only that, but he says, "Sarah, my beautiful wife, why don't you just come along with me?" Sarah was just as crazy as Abraham was. She followed him as he followed God. There were moments where they struggled, where their faith had a hard time. "God, it's been years since you made that promise. I don't see a son yet." There were times when they laughed. "God, we're old. We're not going to have a child now." And yet, they still believed. They still followed. And eventually, they were given a son. And then God said, "I want you to sacrifice that son." Wait a second, God. You told me we'd have a son, and that through him we'd have generation after generation. We'd have all these blessings that follow. And now you're telling me to kill him? You're telling me to sacrifice him? And Abraham doesn't say that in Scripture. That's what Travis is thinking. Abraham gets the stuff he needs, walks with his servants and with his son, and then he tells his servants after a while to leave them, and he's going to go up the rest of the way with his son, and they carry the wood and they do everything they need to do. And Isaac says, "Father, where's the sacrifice?" Abraham says, "The Lord will provide." And as he's ready to sacrifice his son, as he's got the knife prepared to do it, he is stopped by God. Because God doesn't delight in the sacrifices of people or of children. It was a test for Abraham. "Abraham, do you truly believe in me? Do you really trust in me?" See, Abraham had faith and it was credited to him as righteousness. Do you believe God? Do you trust him? And because you trust him, you do the things he tells you to do. That is righteousness. You're following his standard that he's laid out before you. You're doing good because it's right, because it's what God says. You're being righteous because you trust in him and you're bearing that fruit of righteousness. And then he says this fruit of truth. You know, that we would be sharing truth with others is a big part of that. But also, I think it stems from the fact that we believe in absolute truth. That we're not coming here and saying, you know, this is what God's word says, but I don't really believe that that's true. Here's what I think God was trying to say, and I want you to go ahead and follow that. No, we believe that his word is absolute truth. And because it is absolute truth, we share it like it is absolute truth. Amen. We don't tell people, you know, why don't you just go ahead and open up the Bible? There's some good stuff in there. No, we tell them, this is the truth you've been missing in your life. All of this right here is everything you need to have salvation. This is everything you need to be godly, to fill and to get rid of, to fill your soul and get rid of the darkness that's in your soul right now. This will allow the light to come in because it's full of God's truth. Not what man wants you to hear, not what man wants you to believe, but what God has given to us. Everything pertaining to life and godliness is found in His words. It is full of truth, and if you read it, you will be blessed by it, and you will be freed from sin. And then I love what verse 10 has to say. And here we are bearing this fruit from verse 9. But then verse 10 says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. When we were pulled out of that darkness and we were brought into His kingdom, you know, we were baptized and we raised up as a new creation in Jesus, right? And then we start to walk in the light. We start this journey. But when you were baptized, did you know everything you needed to be doing? Did you know everything that was right and holy and good and true? No. He says, trying to learn. This is a continual process. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and towards the end of this chapter, He has some harsh words to tell these Christians, these Jewish Christians, that He says, you should be teachers by now, but you're not. You're still in need of the milk instead of receiving the meat, the food, that solid food. But notice what He says here, starting verse 13 and 14. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of what? What is it? Practice. What is it? Practice. Speak up. I can't hear you. Practice. Trying to learn what pleases God.
Yes, sir.
Practice. Practicing the word of truth. Practicing the word of righteousness. This is something that we have to grow in. It's not an automatic thing. Back when I was a teenager, the phrase WWJD came out. And bracelets were passed out. And teens were wearing these rubber bracelets everywhere. And it was, what would Jesus do? You see, trying to learn, practicing is, in Scripture, we're not always given thou shalt not, that shall. You know, thou shalt not. We're given a lot of principles. There are things that we are told specifically are wrong, and there are things that we are told specifically we need to do. But there are also other times where we're given a principle from Scripture that we need to follow. And then we're challenged in this life to make decisions, to make choices. When we find ourselves in those positions, asking ourselves, what would Jesus do, would be a simple way to put it and an easy way to put it. But looking at it is, okay, in this position where I'm at today at work, in this position at school with my friends at school, they're asking me to do something. It sounds fun. But is it the right thing to do? Would it be pleasing to God If I go to this party and I get drunk and I make a fool of myself, would it be pleasing to God if I make fun of this person over here because everybody else thinks they stink and they dress funny? Would it be pleasing to God that in the break room I'm constantly cutting up about my boss and making fun of him with the rest of the employees? Is it pleasing to God? You see, this is trying to learn what is pleasing to Him. Everything I do now as a child of light reflects upon God, and it reflects upon His church. If they see you do good, they in turn praise the Father and they glorify God. If they see you do bad, what do? They might look at you and say, well, they're just a hypocrite. But it also brings into their mind, well, if that's what their God wants them to do, I want no part in His church or with His people. We better learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We're going to be challenged. We're going to have to make choices in this life daily. And as we make those choices, let's be thinking, is this pleasing to God or not? If it is, let's do it. If it's not, let's back up. Let's take a step back and let's find something else to do. And then you have this conflict in verses 11 and 12 where it says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. All right, so here you have this conflict between light and darkness that comes up. But I want you to notice how aggressive Paul is getting with the Ephesians here. Verse 11, he says, do not participate in those deeds, but instead even expose them. It's not just that, well, I understand that you guys want to go ahead and go to that party, but I'm just not into that kind of thing. And then you leave and walk away. He says, expose the darkness. So instead of saying, I don't want to take part in it, maybe you can start to shine some light on the situation. Amen. And explain to your friends why it is wrong. Why we do need to stop with these terrible jokes that are making fun of people or tearing them down instead of building people up. Why it's not okay to be doing some of those things. Start to expose that darkness. Don't just say, I won't participate. Okay, that's a good first step. The next step is start to shine the light. Don't turn away and hide the light. Be one who exposes the darkness and sheds light onto the situation. We are challenged to be children of light in this passage. And as children of light, we have an influence in this world that we need to be cautious about. I think that's what we learn about in those latter verses that we just read. We have an influence as children of light that we need to take care of. I want to talk to you about a particular boxer. He's not super well known, or at least I hadn't really heard of his name until I researched this and read about it. But he's a boxer from the 1930s, so well beyond my time and probably most, if not all, people in here. His name was C.D. Blaylock. Does he ring a bell? No. Okay. Well, he was a boxer, and within this particular match, he swings. And he's swinging to knock out his opponent. But his opponent dodges backs out of the way. Blaylock's fist meets his own face. You ever heard of that happening? I don't think I've ever seen that in a boxing match. But his own fist comes back and hits him in the face. And as everyone is watching this match, they are astonished to see the fact that he's hit himself in the face and he's staggering. And then he falls down. And he has knocked himself completely out of the match. Completely knocked himself out. He is the only boxer in history, at least that's been recorded, that has been awarded a knockout against himself. I know that's funny, but we can do the same thing as Christians. We're supposed to be walking as light, shining that light. But if we're not careful, if we start to participate in those unfruitful deeds of darkness, we can knock ourselves out of the race. We can take ourselves out of the match. And we are no longer those who are shining light, but instead, we've allowed the darkness back in. So I challenge you this week to live as a child of light, to be someone that is not only not participating in the unfruitful deeds, but someone who is bearing that good fruit, is being good, is living a righteous life, and is one that is bearing truth and sharing it with others. Not only that, but if you're here this morning and you recognize that you've been in a prison, you've been a slave to the darkness of this world, to the darkness of Satan, to the darkness of sin, and you know you need to get out, let me tell you, there's only one way out, and it is by the name of Jesus. He is the only one that we can get out of that darkness by. And it's through baptism that we are saved, that we are washed clean from that darkness, that sin is washed away, we've been forgiven, and we can then live as a child of light. If you're ready to start living as a child of light, please come forward while we stand and while we sing. Trying to walk.